This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Doug Hutchcraft on the line from Ron Hutchcraft Ministries. We're going to be taking a look at some of the big faith denials from these so-called celebrity Christians, if you could call them, Joshua Harris and Marty Sampson. This earlier this summer, they kind of turned their back on the faith, or they, well, Joshua Harris for sure turned his back, but then Marty Sampson kind of said he's on shaky ground. And at the same time, we saw responses that were kind of strong from John Cooper, the lead singer of Skillet, and then Franklin Graham, who heads up Samaritan's Purse. And you saw back and forth, and I kind of want to approach this from a different perspective. When you get, Doug, when you get big names in the U.S. church, if they stop following Christ or kind of begin to doubt him and then start talking about it on these platforms, how would that affect young believers or believers who are young in their faith as they kind of look up to these guys?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I've been thinking about this, especially as it was happening. And I've worked with young people my entire life, believers, unbelievers. And the thing is, if you know a young person, you know a lot of times young people are kind of the most vulnerable to the collapse of a hero. They might be the most likely to be deeply affected. I mean, you already kind of have with millennials and Generation Z. They already kind of have very little respect for or interest in church. So, you know, a Christian leader might fall, and we've seen kind of this cross-generational heroes falling. I mean, the enemy seems to be finding generational heroes to bring down, whether they're pastors or big radio personalities or worship leaders. But so a Christian leader might not be a big deal when they fall to a young person, but man, a worship leader, a musician, a young author that we've really looked up to, they're more of an authority. It's kind of been true for a long time. So it's an already spiritually skeptical generation, and the enemy knows that. So look, if you want to disillusion the older generation, bring down someone like a pastor or a big radio personality. But if you want to disillusion the younger generation, have it be one of these heroes, especially ones that they follow maybe on social media, on Instagram. The devil is strategic about who he picks off. So there's this kind of cross-generational disillusionment. But the whole idea is to erode trust in God by eroding trust in people that talk about God. So if you think about it, the first thing the devil said, the first lie, right, was, did God really say, remember to Eve, he questioned, did God really say this to you? And that's always the enemy's first attack, to doubt God's word. And what's scary in it can be like this in all generations, but especially if you look at Gallup polls, if you look at, if you work with young people, a lot of young people have a hard time discerning between the messenger and the message. So when someone I really respect that I follow, when they fall, it can really do a lot of spiritual damage and a lot of pain.
I want to springboard off that, because you're leading perfectly into my next question. It seems like it could possibly make sharing the gospel even harder for young people, you know, maybe trying to reach their friends for Christ. I could see a young person coming back if they're aware of these falling away situations. I could see a person coming back and being like, look, these big names, you know, they don't even believe it. So why should I?
You're exactly right. You know, so three words, my dad, Ron, I grew up in Northern New Jersey, which was, I live in the South now. It's a different culture. There's at least an openness to Christianity. There's an openness to talking about God. Grew up near New York City. It was a lot different than that for me in high school. And I had a lot of friends that didn't know the Lord. I wanted them to. And so my dad and mom would always say a couple things when we'd come home and be like, boy, we've got that. What, when they say, well, what, I don't, what about the Bible? And what about contradictions? And what about why don't all paths lead to God? And he would say these three words, and he would say, Doug, remember this, stick to Jesus, stick to Jesus. Because he didn't say, follow my followers. We've heard this before, but it's so important to stay focused on this when we're talking to a young person that has really had their trust eroded in God. I'm so glad that Jesus said to follow me. So if we are going to be discipling and speaking with and trying to help these young people that are really disillusioned, we've got to constantly direct worship and loyalty and trust away from the messengers and to the man who is the message, to the man who hung on the cross. The fundamental question isn't, can Christianity be trusted? It isn't, can his followers be trusted? Can this Hillsong artist be trusted? The question is, when it all comes down to it, can Jesus be trusted? No one is going to go to heaven because they trusted in a Hillsong musician. Can Jesus be trusted? So we go to the foot of the bloody cross. We see if the man dying there can be trusted. Stick to Jesus. Anyone who loved me enough to die for me will never do me wrong. Jesus has never let anyone down. He's never been fake. He's always been a promise keeper. He's never been a forsaker. It's all about him. He made it all about himself when he said, follow me. You know, John 8:12, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Don't put your trust in a messenger. This is a great learning moment, a great teaching moment for us, as if we're a little older and we're interacting with young people that are disillusioned. Every messenger, if you hang out with them long enough, will let you down. Jesus never will. His critics watched him day and night to try to find something, some inconsistency in him. They never could. There's only one star in this constellation. There's only one hero in this story. So yeah, the lesson for leaders that influence young people is we need to be discussing this with them and making sure Jesus is always the hero. He's always the one we're talking about. There's only one reason to abandon the Christian faith, is if you have a problem with Jesus, the man who stopped for everyone that needed him, that died on a cross for us, that healed people, that rose from the dead. You know, that old chorus, that old hymn, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus. This is a great time to remind people that we've got to stick to Jesus. We've got to look to him. Hebrews 12:2, I believe it is. Fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. You'll finish the race if you keep looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Don't look at the guy behind you or the crowd. Look to him.
And we, beautifully said, by the way, and I'm not trying to take away from that in any way, but are there resources that Ron Hutchcraft Ministries has to help people in living this out? You know, obviously Bible's ultimate resource, but is there anything people can go to help with that?
Yeah, you know what? I would go to, there's a great blog that my dad wrote about this. I think it was a couple weeks ago. If you go to hutchcraft.com, then you will see that blog. It's right on the front page, and you will also find resources. There are resources about talking with young people, and there's a book Dad wrote some time ago, but it still is relevant now. It's called 10 Time Bombs, and it's all about relating to young people and the issues that there, it's funny, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, the issues kind of get recycled, but they always seem to come back to the same thing when it comes to young people. Are you authentic? And do you mean this? And how do I know? Because they, I'll tell you, young people have a serious hypocrisy alarm going on, and it can be a good thing, but But yeah, go to hutchcraft.com, check out that blog, and look around in the store there, and you'll see some things that can help.
All right. We'll get people connected with that. That wraps up my questions. Was there anything I missed or anything else you wanted to add?
You know, the only thing I would add is when something like this happens, it can feel like we're being personally attacked as believers. And it's really important when you get into a comment section, you're on Facebook, wherever you're interacting with people, just that to be careful to this is a young generation that as soon as they feel like you're being judgmental, as soon as they feel they'll, even if what you're saying is true, they will turn you off. And there is a place, there is certainly a place. I actually loved what John Cooper wrote. There was a lot of truth to that. And I especially loved how he was saying, look, even with me, don't focus on me. Focus on the Word of God, focus on Jesus. But I would just encourage you to just rather than attacking the person that is struggling in their faith, that has even come out and said, I don't believe this anymore, to really, like we've been talking about here, just to stick to Jesus and even use comment sections as ways to draw people to the Savior and away from the messenger and to Jesus, the one with the ultimate message. That's all I would say is don't get into fights on social media and be slamming people. Rather, use it as an opportunity to turn people to Jesus.